Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey y'all, I'm Moni and you're mixing with Moni, okay? Welcome to my weekly mixer where I take your favorite Bravo shows, TV news, and hot topics, mix it with my opinions and some of my friends' opinions, a little shade, and sometimes a cocktail or two. I'm bringing in my POC perspective to shows we all love. Let's mix it up. Hello, 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 all you beautiful and wonderful mixologists out there. It is your girl, Moni, and you are mixing with Moni. Okay, I am honored, overjoyed, ecstatic to welcome back a true friend, an amazing podcaster, and honestly, meme extraordinaire, Ryan Bailey, the host of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. But it's just so good that it's good. I literally, every time he's on, I make the title a pun of something like that because it's just always so good. And I'm so happy to have you back.
I'm ecstatic to be back, actually. This is like coming home in a way. It's so funny because, you know, you everybody gets so busy. I feel like I've lost touch with everybody. And it's like my life hasn't really, I'm doing the same crap I always do. But it's like all the people that I started off with, like I've lost, I don't know if you've ever felt like this where you feel like you lose touch with everybody and you're like, oh man, like this is different than it was during the pandemic. And I just talked with everybody and now I don't talk with anybody except if it's on the podcast. And that's so, you know, my mind is going in 10 different directions at all times, just like the housewives, I assume.
Yeah, for sure. As like once upon a time, like, you know, for us to talk to each other, we would all be podcasting, doing each other's podcasts. And we also had nowhere else really to go, nothing else to do. But now life is back and we're back and doing things. And then, you know, people
Have conversations unless it's a podcast now. Yeah. I'm like, if I get into more than a 5-minute conversation with somebody, I'm like, should I get my equipment out? This feels like this should, like,
let me save this for the pod.
I'm potentially wasting my time.
Listen, I get it. I'm like, you know, if I talk to anybody before recording about anything podcast or reality TV related, I'm always like, let's just start. Like, just go ahead because it's just more important to do it on there. But there's also been just so much happening both in the world, both on Bravo. We're coming to you as a palate cleanser, very aware of what else is going on in the world right now, but also very much so want to provide a distraction to anyone who needs it, including myself.
And I feel the same exact way you do, but also tentatively horrified, not only for the situation we're in the world, but also to watch housewives' reactions to what we're going on in the world.
God.
Because it's the landmark. Like, we have proven to, whether it be any sort of thing that happens in the world, you know, we take it in through our filters as human beings, but the housewives, it's like on steroids sometimes. And I almost get fearful for when big things happen in the world because we know we will have to see where Ramona Singer stands. Like, we will have to, you know, where you're just
in
like
the wrong place. She's always just standing like in the middle of the road.
It's like how every day I wake up now and I go to Instagram and I go to Kanye's page and I'm just like, okay, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And it's a real crapshoot if it scares you or not. And it's the same with the housewives where
I see that, like, literally Kim is like begging to be single. She's like, make me single, like the opposite of Patty Stanger's entire career. She's like, I need to be a millionaire unmatched because I can't take it. And this is causing me genuine distress. I've never seen her stick up for someone the way she's sticking up for Pete Davidson. Like,
wait. At the core of it, it's sticking up for her, like at the core. Yeah. And by the way, but I find it very interesting with pop culture, and you can relate to this to the housewives as well, but mainly with female stars. Female stars get the short end of the stick it is so interesting how we treat men in this country, particularly. I was even looking at like the Megan Thee Stallion stuff with Tory Lanez. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it is so fascinating. Here is a woman saying, yo, this is what happened. You know, you guys can all see it. But then, you know, women are just questioned under the spotlight at all times, like, which I find.
Did you really get shot? Though we saw footage and we saw the medical report, but I don't know if it happened.
Could you imagine?
Like, do you know it happened? Like, for sure. Was it an accident? Like, would that make a difference?
Wait, for this guy, we're standing behind Tory Lanez. Like, I don't even know if his raps are good. Like, I don't even know.
He's like built his career off of like covering old songs that like didn't need to be redone, and then auto tuning the shit out of them, and not giving any credit to like T-Pain. And like same with, but Megan Thee Stallion like performed on SNL and like couldn't even move her body because she was shot in the foot. So
and here's somebody that's saying, like, I'm believe the woman. And the funny thing is, we have this other thing where love them or hate the Kardashians, and I go through both phases at all times.
Let me tell you, all the
time. Is that at the same time, though, we have this thing in this country where it's like, well, she deserves it. They caused all this stuff. Like, wait a sec. Okay. I find it funny that we are then the arbiters of who deserves what. We now will play God with these people. And it's like, wait, let's just look at the situation. We see Kanye acting out. We see him like, this is besides his music. I'm such a huge fan of his music. That's why this breaks my heart. But let's just take the situation. It's a bad situation. And you can relate it almost to exactly what's going on in Jersey right now with Teresa and Louis. You have this same situation where it's, isn't it fascinating where the men are always the issues with the women? Like, I just was on Twitter earlier and saw Vicky Gunvalson saying, I just met the man of my dreams. And I'm like, uh-oh. Like, you know,
God, Vicky. This new love tank needs to just be like, let it go, girl.
Vicky, go electric. No more love tank. Let's go electric.
Maybe because if she went electric, she wouldn't need nearly as much fuel.
Let's not fill up anything. We do not need fuel anymore, you know?
No, because as we learned, love bombing is also the way that they fill up their love tanks. And it's not the answer. It's doing us a very poor service at the moment. And like, you know, obviously we'll talk about Jersey, but getting to the end of it really quick, I was very concerned for her and all involved. If you have to tell everyone you know in your circle to like leave your man alone and make sure that you don't upset him or hurt his feelings, you have a very not good man.
Well, this is what we talk about, controlling the narrative. If you look at it from like a macro standpoint, this is what we get annoyed with our housewives doing, right? Whether it's about Louis or Teresa or not, it's controlling the narrative, which Teresa's doing, right? So that's already bad because we don't like that. That's not reality. But then on top of it, this is a character that is beloved. And we see that that's like potentially dangerous, that we are now kind of seeing the Louis that we have read about for a year now and seen in these videos is that he is very controlling. He is on top of everything.
Right.
Production is having issues with him, and we are not seeing it. He is very aware about this, and it seems like Teresa's trying to help him control the narrative, which I understand that's what relationships you'd want to protect your partner, but it's like Joe Bonino says in this, like, where there's smoke, there's fire, you know?
Yeah, there's also a very big difference of like the fear and like the protection that like Jennifer was having, where she was like, she really wanted to protect her husband because she had the sake of her kids and everything else. And, you know, her family, her in-laws, like there are things that she just is like trying to protect her family. This is not that. Like Louis is just being controlling and Teresa is trying to also do that. And it's just very weird because he doesn't want to be on camera, doesn't want his things exposed. But then they were also being like super posy for TMZ and everyone like, hi, it's us.
Teresa's big line, he didn't sign up for this. Well, he kind of did because he knew exactly who he was with, and he likes it when he's photographed by TMZ and stuff with his like,
he wants to cherry
jewelry
pick.
On, and he likes that part of it. So he did sign up for this. Now, if he did not, then Teresa should look into not being on the show anymore, and that should have been the end of it. But unfortunately, for and how she makes her money, but how she makes her money, well, you know, it's all leading up to a spinoff completely where it's going to be Teresa's family and him. That's what I think. That's why we see so much of her kids, and especially waking up in the morning, you know, especially her. She's like a full-on, you know, cast member at this point.
Yeah, for sure. It just feels a little inauthentic. And that was my major concern with Jersey when it first started this season, was that it felt a little too condensed. Like it didn't feel as real as it should be, as it could be. And in situations like these, I also don't like the fact that this new guy and Louis coming in here and being able to call the shots. You don't get to tell production what you will and won't do. You don't get to take off the mic because you either sign up for this or you don't. In Jersey, those are the only men that do get paid. So it seems like since you're in this for a money grab, maybe you should just play along or go find a woman who's not in the spotlight since you claimed you don't want that.
That's the thing I'm unclear on, though. Is it for the money grab? Like, what money is he? Like, so he has his own business, supposedly, and it's the same business that Jen Shaw has in Salt Lake, a similar kind of business. So he supposedly has money. So what is the Teresa thing? Is it the fame? Is it because if it's the fame, that's already kind of ruined because there's been so much crap with his exes that have come out, which, by the way, one of his exes will be on the show in the next couple of weeks on So Bad It's
Amazing.
Good.
Amazing. Love to hear her side of the story.
But I think we're going to talk in more general, like broad talks about narcissists and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, know. Make the girls aware, because I think his kind of toxicity, we'll say, keep it lighter than what it actually probably could be called, is so, it's new to a lot of people in the ways that it is, because you would think, you see Teresa, she's so happy and everything, that he's obviously just such a good guy. But when Melissa, even this episode, was like, he never leaves her side. Like, he is always up under her. He won't let her be, like, he is joined at the hip. And I'm like, is that how it is? Some of it seems.
So in your opinion, though, is it going to be, because right now, from what I've seen, if I didn't know any of the previous Louis stuff from the exes and stuff, I would be like, oh, he's into self-help. He's kind of geeky. That's kind of who you want somebody that you care with to be with potentially. But we know all of this past history of his. So do you think it's a switch, like he's love bombing, and then there's a switch that it does get scary and all that stuff that we have not, that they have not gotten to yet?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I felt some red flags at the reunion last year when she was talking about how, like, he wants to have sex like 4 or 5 times a day, and he never left her alone. I'm like, are you okay?
Sex is great, but that really shows you how lazy I am. I heard that line and I was like, oh my God. No, I mean, I got TV shows to watch, you know?
Right. And just what she was describing early on, even sounded kind of like love bombing, like, where it's just like, he's very, very, very affectionate, and he's giving me all the attention, and he loves me so much.
Did you watch Ultimate Girls Trip?
Yeah.
Did you see he wrote her a card every day, which the last time I saw that was
Brooks with Vicky. It just feels like, okay, what's your motive? Because it's not like it's impossible to imagine. It's more like the timeline I'm questioning. And Teresa's never struck me as like that deep of an individual to where like all of this love and appreciation.
What are you talking about? Wait, you don't think Teresa's a deep individual? I don't, Ryan.
Wow. Don't. Maybe it's just me. I don't find a lot of depth there.
She's like Good Will Hunting for me. I feel like she could do huge math problems.
Yeah, with her ingredients, she can probably iron those out.
Yeah, okay. I'm a New York best-selling cookbook author. Come on.
It's
weird. I don't know. But like, that's the thing, is that I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. And then the other question I keep asking myself is, you know, how I view forgiveness, how I view, can people change? Like, because I'm saying, okay, so he's done all these horrible things potentially to all of these women. Can people change? Of course, history usually tells us they can't.
And how quick. I believe in people changing, but it's like rehab. Like, they tell you not to go straight into a relationship when you're in rehab for a reason, because it should be like, you know, you're doing that work for yourself. And I'm like, if you went from being a narcissistic lover and all these places, I'd also like to see a little of accountability, because if you are changing, usually there's some kind of accountability or acceptance of what you're changing from. Otherwise, you don't think you needed to change. And I don't think Louis thinks that he has anything to change about himself. I think he thinks he is just trying to find the woman who puts up with all the things that he needs and wants, which is weirdly Teresa, because she acts both like a boss, but also like a very, she's an at your beck and call kind of woman at the same time. And I want better for her.
I want to know Louis' skincare regime.
Okay, listen, because it's both flawless and oily at the same time. He's like both
flawless. You think looking a natural purple is flawless?
I think that his skin doesn't look nearly like, even it's probably the Botox, but like, he doesn't look as old as I think he is.
Okay, well, you're not all.
But he is also still, but he's still very shiny, and I don't understand why he's always so shiny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there is Matt. Maybe we need to like powder him down.
Maybe that's positivity radiating off him or something, you know?
No. That isn't it. But shifting gears a little bit to other things in Jersey, this Marge versus Jennifer thing, it's been a long time since we had like a versus, especially on Jersey, because it's always been like 3 against 3 or 3 against 4 or whatever. But like, now, where do you fall in? Did you think that it was okay that Marge brought this up? Are you on the side of like, no, Jennifer, like, Margaret, this was too much? Like, where are you?
Listen, what I love about Jersey, actually, and even a little bit about this season, is that you really can see exactly why people act the way they do and why, you know, things lead to this. Like, I understand exactly what Margaret did and why she did it. And I think, unfortunately, she had the right to do it. Now, this is Jennifer. And because, you know, you look at the motivations, because Jennifer was so far up her ass in certain ways over the seasons and never acted like a wilting flower, never acted like, I'm just meek. Jennifer came in like a bulldozer all the time, acted like an ass a lot of the times to those ladies. So yeah, this is something that's been going around. I think it was completely fair game. Now, for Jennifer to all of a sudden act shocked. I mean, by the way, also, Jennifer is the one that admitted it this time. Jennifer could have also gone like, no, that's crazy. Stop. Shut up. You're barking down the wrong tree, you know, because Jennifer's done that in the past, too. Jennifer made the decision to actually agree with it this time and say, no, no, it was the, you know, the rep. Get it straight. But I understand exactly that. But then the other stuff that is spun off of that with the Dolores not being a good friend to Jennifer, to all of a sudden Jennifer's playing this character that she's never been, of this like, oh, what was me? I'm so soft and I'm so hurt by you ladies. And Jennifer's been giving it hard as hell since she's been on the show. And I've loved her for that. But now all of a sudden she's completely changing her physical makeup, her emotional makeup, from what we know of. And yes, it is very traumatic to be cheated on. Yes, all of those things. And I really did understand what she was talking about this episode about Bill, and saying that this looks, you know, that people look at her like she did something wrong. And you see that psychology of she actually believes that.
I mean, like, Margaret even kind of eased up because of that. Margaret was like, so she wasn't just blaming me for being, you know, for having an affair. She was blaming women in general for like losing their husband. Like, she genuinely places the blame on women. Like, listen, I said before on my podcast, I found it to be a bit, I mean, it was very clear, like, Marge wrote a book, Jen didn't. But also, Jen never had any intentions of this coming up. And unfortunately, when you're on TV, they will pull everybody out of the mud that you have buried somewhere. It sucked that it was Marge to me. That was where I got it. Because I wouldn't, if it came from anybody else, I'd be like, okay.
Wait, why does it suck that it's Marge for you?
Because she did it basically to be like, you can't get mad at me because your husband and I are the same. When that, it takes not a lot of emotional intelligence to realize that Jen was coming at Marge because she was insecure, because she was triggered. Marge triggered her. She can't get at Bill the same way because she chose to stay. So her being mad at him still, she feels that she is not allowed to be mad at him anymore. But she's taking it out on Marge, and no, it's not right. But I mean, she also did try to apologize to Marge last year. And every time Jen apologizes, I believe her, but like Marge doesn't. And so, but that's also her cross to bear. That's fine. But like, every time she's like, well, yeah, you know, I should not have done it. And even this episode, she was like, I shouldn't have done it. And, you know, you're right, but this is why I was doing it. And I'm like, Marge, you knew, though, why Jen was doing it. I find Marge to be probably the most intelligent person on that cast. I think she is very aware, like hyper aware, and she knew why this was happening. She just got tired of it. I don't think, because she's known this for years, I think that if she was truly bothered by Jen doing this, she would have pulled this card a long time ago. For it to come a whole season later and Jen had to expect it, it felt like she was like, this is not going to happen to me again this year, but I'm also going to get you back for the years that you did this to me, because all bets are off. Like, it felt like it didn't make sense timing wise, because she wasn't starting. I mean, she started the season with your husband cheated. Like,
yeah,
we weren't there yet. To me, if it was a smart housewife,
well, I mean, if you look at previous seasons, we had the Jackie telling Teresa that, you know, using the analogy of Gia doing coke at college in the first episode of last season, you know, we did start it off with another bang. And I see what you're saying, but at the same time, like, I think, like, I do agree with you about Margaret being very intelligent, but I also think it was thrown down there out of like, I'm going to shut you up right now. And I really don't think Margaret thought that Jennifer would admit it. Like, I think it was like, whoa, shoot, I got it out of you. That moment of like, whoa. I think she did not calculate.
I can see that. But then I'm like, then why did you do it? Like, why throw it out there if you didn't? Because you're throwing it out there with the assumption that it's real and true. Because now that you've thrown it out there, it's going to be on the reunion. It's going to be talked about. So Jen's going to have to either admit it or deny it until the end of this season for months and months to come. And the receipts are going to come out and the whole thing. Like, Marge knows how this works. I've heard some things, which I guess kind of, you know, pivoted my thought towards the situation as well. But like, they wanted this to come out about Jen. Like, I've had plenty of people tell me, like, this has been shopped to other people for a long time, allegedly, before, like, the season even came
out. For years,
So I'm just like, so then why now? If it were me, I would have, like, waited until, like, Jen took the bait, which she obviously will, and, like, said something about it being a cheater again and been like, boom, trump card.
I think Margaret was confronted with a confusing nose, plastic surgery, and didn't know what to have. She got
she was confused and overwhelmed.
She was like, what is that nose? And then she just got confused.
Too much going on. But I actually do feel like Jen I do believe, because she's never really healed from this. It's very clear.
She's never healed
from it, because the way she's been taking it out on Margaret.
So I
understand why she would be she's kind of being a little bit more tepid now, because when you come out as like this big monster, and obviously she had a chip on her shoulder for a lot of reasons, one being that her husband was an asshole once upon a time. And I don't know if she ever really believes that he's not still one. If once it was finally out there, she finally could kind of like accept it in a way and be like, well, you know, all of that bravitas was so, it wasn't real to me. I'd never thought of Jen as like a real like monster. Like, she's not as cold. I think she's just reactive. And I really believe her being as now like, damn, like as she's been, like would be mad at her. Like, she's like, and her kids didn't know. Like, now this is just a lot that she has to like deal with at one time.
This is what happens when you audition for a show and you strive to be on that show.
But like, we would have no one left. Like, everybody has something.
Okay, but what we
or
do,
you're at Teddy Mellencamp and you get fired because you're bored.
But I keep thinking about that. Like, remember, she is one that went after this. She went after it. She went after like an SNL audition. She went out. She wanted to get this part. She got a new house just to get this, and she got it. But they're going, like you see, there are no bodies unturned. There are no, and you know, unfortunately, the onus is on her. She should have broken this to her kids earlier, because this will come out on the show. Like you said, whether it be this season, later in the season, next season, will come out. You know, that's just how these shows work. So short-sighted of her, but this is also what happens when you play a character. Jennifer's been playing a quote-unquote character at times on these shows, instead of what we saw in these past couple of episodes of her really revealing the trauma of something that she's dealt with this.
Yeah, I like the side of her even more.
But this is the real Jennifer.
I like that side even more. But then that begs the question, then nothing was wrong with what Teresa did then last season. There was not even any merit to that. So Jackie's fine. But she was all concerned about the family and the kids. But clearly that doesn't matter. So,
but that's what I said. I liked Jersey in particular this season, because you can kind of see the character motivations a lot clearer than I have in other franchises. Like, you know, Salt Lake is so like bizarro world. Like, you're like, what the hell? I don't even know how this connects to this and that. But this, you can see each side, like exactly kind of why they're reacting the way they are, why they're, you know, I know you're a little confused about the Margaret thing, but like, I can still see, you know, that wounded Margaret. She felt like she was like being talked down to by Jennifer because she cheated, you know, like, so I can see everybody's character's motivation.
I've never seen the vulnerability in Margaret. I don't find it like ever. It doesn't compute to me. So I'm just like, it seems like you can handle it, so handle it. But then same thing happened to Jen. It seemed like she could handle it, so handle it. But we didn't know she was dealing with that. But also, Jen didn't write a book about it. That was always my thing. Like, you have been very honest. You married the man. So it's like, that's your origin story. Origin story.
Let's make a bet right now. Before next season of Jersey, I bet you Jennifer Aydin will have a book.
You heard it here first. It's
a Jennifer Aydin book before, not the season,
months.
Before next season. Yeah.
Within 12 months, absolutely, it's going to be a book. I can see that.
Yeah. And it'll be something like, I'm trying to think, Bill, like something with Bill, like Bill. I don't know. I'll figure out the title. But it'll be something about surviving hiccups and relationships, and then all of her story about Jersey.
Yes. Okay. I could see that. And then last but not least, there's Dolores and David. Very sadly, they have broken up. Not shocked at all. Surprised it lasted as long as it did. The 5 months thing, maybe 5 years thing, I was like, really? That was a long time. I gave it longer than I thought. Her kids being so deeply upset about it, though, like, really shocked me. And Frank being like, just tell him, cut the shit. Tell him what happened. And I'm like,
hey, Dolores, cut the shit. Tell him what happened. Come on,
just tell him. And I'm like, oh my God, okay. But they were like genuinely shocked and amazed. I'm like, have y'all not seen him come around less? Like, huh?
Yeah, I never understood. Like, usually in any of these relationships, you can see a quick flash of some kind of romance or what makes them work as a couple. And no offense to David, I didn't think he came off like an asshole, but he didn't. There was never a flash of like, damn, these, you know, I can see exactly what the relationship is here. I never got that with them. So I wasn't surprised that it ended at all, because he did seem married to his career, exactly what she was saying. And he wasn't apologetic for that, nor should he necessarily be. But she did something very brave and said, this is what I deserve. I want something more. I didn't at first, and now I do. But the kids, like, I can totally see why the kids, because this guy, David, like, probably is a good guy. He goes to his job. He wants to, like, you know, he bought her a car. So I think he did live a life. Well, now I'm kind of worried about him because now he's dating Louis's ex, Vanessa. David is.
Oh, dear.
Did you see that?
I did not see that.
They talked about this on Watch What Happens Live last night, and Dolores is aware about this. There's already a picture of them hugging, and I'm like, David, what happened to your career? And now all of a sudden you're like, I never thought of David as trying to get back at Dolores by doing something weird like that, you know?
Right, because it's like, you lost her. This is not on Dolores at all. She tried and was way more patient than most people would be. I mean, you built a house, but you wouldn't propose. You bought her a car, but you wouldn't propose. And you know that's what she wanted. And I'm very confused. So like,
this how random to date somebody that's kind of entangled in all of this as
right.
well.
Right. Is there no one else in New Jersey?
Yeah. You know how easy it is to find somebody that's not on TV? Like it's
very easy.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
None of us are on TV. Like we could do it. But yeah. So very interesting. Very interesting enough episode. It ended kind of weird with Teresa basically having a conversation with Louis on the phone before a barbecue that was going to obviously be filmed. She's no longer having it at her house. She wants it at Jen's house because their house is full of kids. I'm like, okay, sure. You know, that's never really shied Teresa away from it before. But then she gets a call that basically Louis is like, done, done, done. He's like, take the mic off. This is her job. You don't just get to call me and tell me to quit my job for a second. And then the producers are even coming to her and are very confused, concerned. Like, he came to us. He's very upset. We don't know why he's upset. He's just mad. And can we talk to you like about this? And then she's texting everyone, you better have his back.
Then Melissa goes and immediately tells everybody, which then makes it a part of the show. So Melissa already is doing her job by not listening to Teresa. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, she, you know, Teresa was basically saying, don't talk about this without us there. I don't want to talk about it with you. And also don't talk about it with them. And they're already talking about it. So it's completely backfiring. But also what was interesting about that, did you catch Teresa's lie when the producers came up and was like, yo, have you talked to Louis? He's upset. And she's like, no, I haven't talked to Louis.
Yeah, we just got you on camera actually talking.
Yeah, to him. But then later in that conversation, she goes, yeah, he said, you know, he wanted to know why everybody was talking about him. So then she does admit that she talked to him. And it's just like, that's how quickly Teresa will lie and lie pretty
badly
without hesitation. You know?
But also not well. Like, girl, we just caught it up. But I'm looking at Louis like, did you not expect people to talk? Like, if you know this stuff is on the internet and you know that it's only coming out because of who you're dating by choice, I'm very confused about how, like, you don't want people talking about you. You're on the show, like, by choice. Again, you signed a waiver. So I'm very confused as to why you're confused that people are talking about the things that they know about you when it's known because of your choices. Like, you did this. What are you supposed to not talk about it? Like, it never existed? You're not that good.
Well, what did you think was going to happen? But the first time Louis saw the video of him on the beach, I would love, like, oh, shit, that got found out. You know, like, the first time he saw that pop up, you know.
Had,
like,
you seen the video?
Oh, multiple times. Like, I've watched that more than I've watched, like, you know, my family's videos. Like, what are you talking? Right. Like, of course I have. It's one of my favorite beach videos ever, you know? I just love that there's a group of men going, like, they just look crazy. It looks like Mad Max. And he's like, I would like to talk to your heart. I would like to come to you and be back at the house with you, if that is okay with you. And it's, I'm a man, but, like, I just, we're wild, man. Like, that's wild. That's, we do wild, wild. Like, the fact that he thought that was going to be the thing that, like, was good and helpful. And no offense, I do appreciate men that try to do self-help, and I've tried, you know, but, like, that's extreme self-help, which means that Louis is an extreme guy, and that's a certain type of person, you know?
Yeah, no, he's a little bit too extreme. Again, he's like, everything is with him, it feels like it's on 100, and again, it's the picking and choosing, it's the cherry picking of when you want to be famous. That's not really how that works. You don't get to love being in front of the cameras right now, and then you hate it when, or you don't want it when she gets engaged, which is like, I'm actually very shocked that he has this much control over Teresa, because any other time Teresa would love to film all of these things. Teresa basically doesn't speak unless there's a camera in front of her.
That's why I'm fascinated with learning more about narcissists, because that's what supposedly narcissists will do, is that it is like they are controlling.
Yeah.
They thrive on.
Take your mic off or de-mic right now or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Woo. Interesting.
And Teresa's been doing this for so long. So it's, you know, it is funny to watch somebody. You know, they're obviously having deep conversations about what production will show and not. Like, they're obviously having deep conversations about this. And I do wonder now about Teresa on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. I do wonder if that was almost a precursor of Louis a good guy narrative. you know, of like these cards and how much I love Louis and how much, like, there was no negative talk of Louis on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. It was all positive. Teresa was able to control that narrative 100%.
Do you think it's because the girls didn't know? Because they probably, I'm thinking about most of the ones who were there. I mean, besides Melissa, who I don't think she would have done that there. I think Melissa is an ally to Teresa outside of Jersey and inside of Jersey, not so much. But I think the other women who were there, I could see them not knowing anything else about this woman other than she's owned Housewives and they've met her before. I could see them not being interested in her information.
Yeah.
Outside of their jobs.
Well, also, the Ultimate Girls Trip was filmed before this season, so I don't think any of those ladies had seen the Louis Beach video yet.
Oh, yes. speaking of the girls on Girls Trip, thoughts on possible only Ramona and Luann coming back, which I hope is very untrue. I posted that I hope it's very untrue, and Sonia liked it, also hoping that she, I guess it was untrue.
Well, listen, Sonia wants a job. Like, I mean, let's, you know, like
needs.
What's so sad? I went to a Super Bowl party that DirecTV threw, and they had Sonia there, Ashley Darby, and Noella from OC.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. Like, I only went to kind of like meet Sonia, like, and immediately she was so tanked. She was so tanked immediately. It was like, it was an episode of New York where they had to pull her out before the game started because she got too, and like, you know, her boob popped out at one point. And
oh,
like,
Sonia.
But at first you're like, oh my God, Sonia. And she's being so Sonia. It's funny. And then it just got to the point where it wasn't funny anymore. And then I got really sad about it. And then I was like, oh no, because, you know, the show kind of brings that kind of, I don't know. Like, it was a whole thing for me. I went through a whole range of emotions, and it was just very bizarre to watch that. And it was like a VR experience of like, oh my God. But I don't want that to be true. I have always stood true to this, and everybody can hate me if you want, but I think Ramona's time on this should be done. And she had such a great run. She's given so much, and let's leave it at that. Aside from all the political crap, aside from all that, just look at it from a entertainment standpoint. Is there something Ramona's going to do that is ever going to surprise or shock us again? We see the same thing again and again and again. At some point, this franchise has to let the franchise grow. At some point, we will have to break away from these ladies. I have no desire to watch Ramona go into her 80s. But I'll totally be cool with watching her on Ultimate Girls Trip from time to time, or, you know,
she's coming back always, every once in a while on like Watch What Happens Live or something. Yeah.
But I don't need, Ramona's like a wall though. She doesn't listen. So what fun is it at the end of the day? I can only watch so many seasons of somebody not listening, not changing. It is fun. Right. I mean, it's fun to watch, and there are those, like, I even find it funny. Oh, like, oh, Ramona poops herself now. That's funny.
I don't find that funny yet.
Yeah, but like, well, I mean, first off, you're wrong. It's hysterical. And no, I'm joking.
It's not gotten me there yet.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, we've seen all of this. So what are we truly fighting for? Are we truly, like, I understand believing in somebody and fighting for them that way, but I don't really believe in Ramona. I believe in Ramona's entertainment value over the years. And I've gotten so much out of that. But at this point, I'm kind of worried about the health of the overall show. We see what the show was like with like really bad casting and girls that don't really even
mesh,
you know, mesh well. So we've seen
new girls group. There's got to be another one in New York who would actually want to break away. I can even see, honestly, some of the girls on like Summer House, give them like 5 years and they're there, because I forget how old they are sometimes. Like, they're moving out of like the consistent party phase and into like the, we go out on Thursday nights and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, but like, we're going to nicer places and we're going to, like, you know, hotel, restaurant, bars. Like, I could see Lindsay graduating to a hotel, restaurant, bar in Cosmos very soon.
Oh my God. I totally agree with you. I was watching Summer House this week and I was like, it's so funny to watch them starting to age, and then you see Kyle so fighting against it, and you see the rest of them kind of accepting it, and like Carl really accepting it. But by the way, I still find it very enjoyable. Like, to me, Summer House is always like, it's like Seinfeld. It's a show about nothing. It's a different vibe. Like Vanderpump Rules, it was all about a bar, but it was like, you know, similar age group. Summer House is about nothing, and to me, that is meditative in a way. I enjoy it. I relax. I find little character intricacies funny in there. I mean, you probably talked about this on your pod. I thought one of the best conversations about race that Bravo has had has come from this stupid show, has come from Summer House. Like, 5 minutes. All it took was 5 minutes to actually put something better than the all of Bravo combined. Yeah. How weird is that? Like, how weird is that?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I honestly even think that what I do respect about Summer House, you know, it's a little bit different from Vanderpump Rules, is that because they're accepting, you know, their maturity and age and stuff, it feels a little less forced. They're not trying all the time to be as young as they were in season one and keep up with everything like they were before. They recognize that they have transitioned in how they like to party now. They're big on the themes and they like to have fun, but they do need a nap as well. And they do work hard and they do other things, adult things. And it's a little bit more believable. Like, I actually am enjoying Summer House this season, and I could easily see Lindsay and Danielle being a housewife of New York very soon. I feel like it's almost a missed opportunity if they're not.
But wouldn't that be such a nice switch? Because right now you had the Leah Ebony, who were of a certain age, and then you fast forwarded like 25 years of age with the other ladies who look gorgeous, by the way. That's
but I don't hang out with them, and I don't expect them to hang out with Leah and Ebony, and that's fine.
That's what I talked with Ebony, and I had a great conversation with her, but I was just like, yo, at the end of the day, I just don't buy why even you would keep trying to be friends with these people. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, if you shut down two times, like, you're a smart person. Why would you ever want to allow yourself to, like, I mean, then it just reads of like, oh, wait, well, I just want to be on the show. And that's the same with all of these ladies. So I just feel like it needs to start from scratch. And the franchise could be so great again, because remember, like, pay respect to the past, but you do have to move into the future at some point. And we have so many fascinating people in this world, you know, so many people that we don't even know yet.
And it's New York. You can find someone more open and entertaining than Ramona Singer. I promise you. Because in the last few seasons, I actually think Ramona's gotten more and more like too conservative, like not politically, but like in action. Like, she 10 years ago when she first got started, like, first season, she didn't like Alex posting nude. And then two seasons later, it was a little bit of a different story. Three seasons later, she would have joined Aaliyah or someone on the table dancing on top of a mirror or something. And now she's just like, cut it out. We're all too classy for this. I'm like, what show have you been on? Because that is not what I would have said about it. But we can afford a revamp, and we have got to acknowledge that people can be iconic and we can still retire them. Like, if anything, we should take a Kyra Sedgwick approach when she left The Closer, because she wanted to go out on top, like, while the ratings were good and while she was doing well. Why would we're letting Roni tank? Like, everybody's favorite being Roni. Not the last three seasons. Changed my mind. You cannot say that if you're a fan of Roni, that you will put the last three seasons above all other franchises that have come on. That's not true.
Also, I mean, it's just like, we're not, you know, as much as we love Michael Jordan in this country, we're not like, you got to play again, man. You got to go back,
Shaq,
and play.
We're not sending Magic Johnson back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, but also you can go, these people can have these great lives. I feel like people think that means, quote unquote, we're canceling them or we're letting them die. And it's like, no, they're
Ramona's
not
still
going to
be fine. She's going to be very much so Ramona.
Ramona lets us know on a daily basis how amazing she is. Like, she's so fine. She's going to be okay.
She's going to hire an intern like Sonia, and she's going to do more TikToks and dance to things offbeat. And she's going to do well in her Amazon swimsuits, and she's going to have a good life. Accidentally post her bank statement. She's just going to be fine. I promise.
But that's why I like Ultimate Girls Trip. I like things like that, because it's like, it's a great chance to catch up. It's a great, like, it even actually made me appreciate Luann a little bit more. I got to hear from her a little bit more about her wedding and how it, like, broke her and trying to date again. And that one person that hurt, like, I found it fascinating watching a different iteration of ladies. And it made me realize, like, it made me learn some new things that their own franchises, when they're on, they can't do because they're so used to each other. They're mm-hmm. so used to each other that it was kind of nice for Luann or any of these ladies to explain who they are to
right.
new ladies, you know?
And it always made it so clear that they don't, like, Sonya does not like to hang out with them very much, like, when the show is over, and that's why she's usually so yeah. drunk when she's there, because she obviously doesn't really have a good time with them. And I would like to see better for all of them, and I would like to have some hope in Roni again.
But Kenya, like, I mean, Kenya had the time of her life on Ultimate Girls Trip,
and I was happy for Kenya. I loved Girls Trip. It was great,
but to Cynthia's detriment.
Yeah,
you know, Cynthia,
I don't really care
Cynthia
much
tanked.
For Cynthia.
Cynthia
so
tanked,
I didn't.
You know.
Yeah. We're gonna take a quick break and be back, finishing up with Salt Lake City.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. Mm-hmm. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
All right, we are back, and Salt Lake City finale just happened. I feel like the season could not end any slower. Because of how much we know about, like, post-production, I'm very much so detached from the way the rest of the season ended, because everything now, I don't have any organic opinions. Everything has been skewed for me because I know who's coming back. I know who's not. I know why people are fired. How about you? Were you happy about the finale to be, you know, were you excited for it to end?
I am happy it's done. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All of us included. Are you going to miss Mary? Loaded question.
In the sense that, like, I do like seeing car crashes. I mean, if they're okay, you know, like, there's always that thing of like, oh, I want to see the, you know, the biggest accident ever. Not like, I don't want to see people hurt, but you know, you like that there's a whole, I want to see people trip and fall. And Mary's a human representation of a car crash at times. But what I found weirdly fascinating, it wasn't Mary, it was people's reactions to Mary, or the mm-hmm. the Meredith treating Mary like an equal, of like, well, that's a very good point, Mary.
Their alliance kind of came out of left field to me, and I didn't understand it.
Because Mary would say something batshit, and Meredith would be like, that's a very good point, Mary. I'm very excited.
Actually, you know, like, I think that's a good point. And yeah, to Mary, like, you have got, I've got a good friend to marry. And then Whitney coming to Mary, like, Meredith needs you. I'm like, I am just confused by so many things. And also, this should not be happening while drunk. But I will say, Mary had some of the best, like, cut to camera moments that where I'm seeing her like be so over it. I genuinely feel like Mary is gone because she did not want to deal with this shit anymore.
Mary became the Jim Halpert from The Office of this, you know, on Jim mm-hmm. on The Office. If you ever watched it, he would look to the camera and roll his eyes or something. Mary became that person.
Yeah.
The difference is Jim Halpert on The Office was pretty sane. Mary has so many bizarre, like, what I find weirdly fascinating about this season of Salt Lake, and you can use many examples of this, but Mary is one of them, as well as Jen Shaw, is that things that if you put Mary in another season of another franchise or something, she would be like, what the F are you doing, lady? But since the other ladies on Salt Lake are so bizarre themselves, Mary, by the end, almost started looking good. Mary,
yes.
You started empathizing.
Yes. It's like when Bethany left New York, I realized how much I don't think I like her as a human when she left, because on the show, she was seen like the most sane one a lot of the times because everybody else was kind of nuts. And on Salt Lake City, they're all pretty nuts. And then all of a sudden, because Mary was like averse to their nuttiness, she'd be like annoyed by it or something. I'm like, okay, so she sees it too, that they're acting ridiculous. So you almost exactly. are like, okay, she's the only one who gets it.
Yeah. So it was this kind of amazing, I don't know. But the same thing with Jen Shaw. It's like, you're like, okay, so this is going to be a Jen Shaw season of like, what the F did you
I
do? How did
think
you
Jen
steal
Shaw
all this
is a
money?
Genius. And there I said it, well, hot take, but how did you get the entire cast and never talk about you again?
Well, Monty, I mean, she is a genius. She was able to steal from all of those people.
And
like,
still
I mean, like,
believes
she,
that she did nothing or, wrong.
Oh, no, she knows.
But like, everyone else pleading guilty or taking a plea, and she's like, oh, no, I am a lone wolf. Though all these people under me admitted their guilt, I clearly knew nothing and I did nothing wrong.
In today's society, you know, everybody knows this by now. This is nothing new. Just commit to the lie. Never falter from the lie. Never, because sadly, you will have a good group of people that will believe you. Like,
yeah, they believe. They are like, arguing they more believe. About why Meredith wasn't at the arrest than why Jen was arrested.
Jen must have sat there going like, oh my so God, good. It's working. It's
she's
working.
Good. I have to give it to her. I see how she swindled the girls now. I don't like it because my Nana was a swindled person and that sucks, but I get it.
My grandma was swindled by somebody like Jen Shaw. Like,
I'm wondering if she was at the bottom of what happened to my Nana in 2016.
So I don't find it funny what she's accused of, I will say, but by the end, I was even laughing with Jen Shaw about like things she was saying, because I was like, this is so ridiculous. And you sense this almost like this LOL, like it's actually working. Like, because I thought, what a dumb move for her to go back on this show. What a dumb move.
And now I'm getting it. I understand exactly why.
Well, like, but at the same time, so it's not going to cause her to not have a lesser sentence. She's still going to jail for a long time. But what it did do, it garnered her even more of a little bit of a fan base that actually believe. Like, I see people like, I watch what like saying, I believe her. I'm like, have you read anything? If you read even the basic court documents, you will realize that she is fully guilty. There's not going to be the smoking gun that Jen throws down where the Southern District of New York is like, we have made a huge mistake.
No,
like,
the Southern District of New York doesn't take shots that they don't make. They don't miss. You can read the first page of one of their indictments and it's like, oh wow, this is bad. Like,
but
she did bad things.
Jen knows this country is that we don't read. We don't read the first page, nor the second page, nor the third page.
None of the girls did. Remember Beverly Hills LA Times article? Too long.
Which is like, well, I always talk about this in the show, is like, you know, like, I don't want to use fake news, that term, but I want to say like the stuff we put out, or even the New York rumors that you were talking about, you know, like we put out those rumors, it goes around, all of this stuff. And especially us Bravo accounts, everybody passes it around, all that stuff. I was using Queens of Bravo as an example on a show a little bit, because they had put out these Beverly Hills rumors in Aspen of like, oh my God. And then Dorit and Erica Jane left. They left Aspen and put out this information and got posted everywhere. And then it was incorrect information. And Queens of Bravo made another post later saying that was incorrect. They were actually still there. They just went to a different place than the other ladies were there. Okay, great. But the problem is that first post gets 50,000 likes. The second post gets 15,000. So you have 35,000 people potentially out there that have just liked it that still think that the Erica Dorit thing leaving is true. Now, you're like, who cares? You're right. On that instance, who cares? But think about it with a bigger issue. Think about it with actual information. Think about it with something like that proves somebody's guilt. So that's what we're talking about, I think, when a lot of misinformation gets out there and we're so excited to post or so excited to be a part of it. We participate in really mass confusion because people actually, unfortunately, do get their news from some of us. And that to me is wild. You know,
honey, y'all send me the news most times. Y'all know I'm teaching and educating the youth. I'm like, oh, wow, that happened. I'm usually the last to know too.
I'll do what I think is an obvious fake post. Like something so bizarre and crazy. And people would be like,
yes,
oh my God, I can't believe that really. I mean, I'll still get like, I was like, no. Like Jenny's social media manager didn't throw the glass. That was a joke. Like I was joking.
Yeah, no,
like,
I mean, I caught it. Other people, I do worry other people sometimes. Don't. Like, they take it as for real. Yes.
There's no nuance in any of these conversations. We all have an anvil hammer that we hit as hard as we can. And we miss a lot of nuances now. This might sound annoying to you guys listening, but it's just one of those things that I keep thinking about, because what even this week, I almost got in, because I thought I'd gotten information the queen had died from that one account. And then turns out the queen didn't die. You know,
that's like, why I waited full 24 hours and it's still going on.
Well, which by the way, he'll eventually be right. You know, like if he waits long enough, he's going to be right about the queen.
Right. He's just like leaving it up.
Yeah, he's just gonna leave it up. Like, but that's what I'm saying, is that people actually genuinely do pass these around, and there's like this icky feeling when you're like, oh my God, this stuff really is real, you guys. Like, remember, like, you know, we all have parents that probably read shit that like they'll click on a link and they'll get scammed because they really do believe it's coming from Amazon and they need to change their password. These things really, because people at our hearts were good people and we don't want to believe people would ever lie to us.
All the more reason why what Jen Shaw allegedly did is terrible.
But it's so funny.
she's making it possible.
for the links to be sent. I understand, because I've said it before. Like, she's scamming. No, she didn't do it herself. I'm like, okay, so it's better. Okay. If I give you someone else's grandmother's like house code and their safe code and you go in and do it, I feel like I am in the wrong. It's not great.
This season of Salt Lake, that has been completely ignored.
Yep.
You know, it made the Beverly Hills ladies look like master interrogators with Erica when I thought they did a shitty job too.
Yes.
But comparatively,
y'all let this shit slide. I would have been able to drop her off the face of the earth. Like, we're never going to speak to you again.
Not been one coherent conversation. In fact, we had Jen Shah almost attack Lisa Barlow on a Sprinter van, and that got even overlooked. We had one, remember the lady, production lady, had to jump in, like that poor lady had to jump in to grab Jen Shah, and we still let Jen Shah film and stuff. But at the end of the day, it is like, I even get, it gets whitewashed over in my head, because I'm like, oh, she's fine. She's, but look at the behavior. Would you ever, why are people so scared of Jen Shah? Like, I even had Heather Gay on my podcast a year ago or 6 months ago or something. And she said, she's like, you know, but I'll always stand behind Jen Shah. And I was like, you know, that sounds
ridiculous,
wild, right? And she's like, yeah, but I'm just like, that's the kind of friend I am. And I'm like,
she took the Lisa Rinna approach. And I thought Lisa sounded dumb too. And Erica being like, I'm going to remember who was for me and who was against. I'm like, with what power do you think you have? Like, this is the end of it, especially Jen Shah. You're in Salt Lake City, Utah. I don't know what you think you're capable of, but it's not going to be much behind bars.
I mean, I do want to see Jen Shah's prison body, though. I want to see if she gets all ripped.
Like Teresa did. She worked out like a million times. And then again, she should just engage and embrace this. Like Teresa did. Call a camp. Go. See if they will come back to you in 6, 7, 10, 14 years after your sentence and see what happens. Maybe there's a world where you can still be on Housewives, I'm sure.
Money, but what frustrates me though is that you ask, you know, these shows can be so silly and we can laugh and all this stuff, but it really does ask these kind of bigger questions where then I ask myself, like, I try to have like real thoughts like about these things of like, hey, how far do I go with a friend? Like, if a friend is obvious in the wrong, how far do I go with them? Like, where is my line of friendship? Am I still friends with somebody that steals from the elderly because they've always been great around me and I know they have a good heart deep down? Like,
but
where's our lines?
That's why I'm confused with Heather, because you have said at the beginning of the season started very differently than how she's talking now. It was very much so Jen is betrayed and she's hurting and she's mean and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know where this good heart has even come from. I think at the core, it's like, I don't understand any of the loyalties or alliances on Salt Lake City, because none of them have known each other to me long enough to where they should be this diehard. And especially if there's elderly scams involved or something, I'm absolutely not going to be diehard for you. That's probably where I would get off with a friend. I would put up with a lot, but not criminality. I don't do crimes.
The majority of people, I think, like Heather, right? So, like, why does, like, I mean, well, I mean.
But yeah, she is a fan favorite. That's true.
It boggles my mind. And then you wonder, like, because you just see, like, you're being played. Because, like, Jen's really that good of a friend to you, even though she's, like, literally trying to attack you and, like body tackle you, Lisa. Like, but you're still going to be okay with her.
Look at Heather. I mean, she's still always trying to, like, defend her decisions to leave the Mormon church and trying to, like, keep her kids, like, somehow in the church in a way, but, like, not practicing. And she did not do the wrong thing by any account to me when she left. It seems like from what she describes in one scene, I'm like, oh my God, you poor woman. You should not have gone through all of this. This is ridiculous. And in another scene, it's almost like she's defending it to an extent because like her kids are involved and that's their father and all these things. So I'm like, if she's still doing this years later and having this tug of war in her head of like, if it was right or not, I can understand probably why she's also, she can be manipulated by Jen. Not that she's easily manipulated, but Jen's very manipulative. But as are most giant institutions, when you're scared of them and their repercussions, especially when you know that they come through with repercussions, you might be scared of that. And it might be a repeat fear later on. So it's not shocking to me that she's still scared. But again, I say, what in the world do you think Jennifer Shah can do? Because it's not much to me.
But see, that's what I almost think. It's going to be good for Jen Shah to go to prison because it will actually break them of the... No, I mean, I want to say, like, remember, like, okay, so we've all had toxic friends, right? And, you know, when you're in that toxic friendship, you're like, oh my God, everybody's against you, but I'm for you. I totally see it. You know, they've convinced you. You're like, oh my God, I'd do anything. You know, like, it's always, with toxic friends, it always seems to be everybody's against me. you've got to be there for me. And it's like, guess what, guys? Normal, healthy friendships, you're not, nobody's in war usually, you know? Like, it's like, you know, Sheena on Vanderpump Rules is always asking people to not talk to that person and talk to that, don't talk to that person, they're against me, and don't talk to, you know, it's like my enemies and stuff. Normal friendships aren't like that. You know, you support each other, you talk through past trauma, you do fun things together. But with toxic friends, there's always some drama. And there was always some drama even with Jen. Remember the first season before there were any allegations? Mm-hmm. Always drama with Jen Shaw. Always pulling you into something. Always, you've got to side with this, you've got to side with that. You know, and when you're in that, you are so hypnotized and brainwashed potentially that you really do need a snap, a break, all of it. Like, so when she goes there, hopefully they're not going to be visiting her every week and stuff. And hopefully they'll get some time to really sit with
this.
That's
just a fact.
They need a couple years of decompression from Jen Shaw to really realize, I think, how they were used in certain ways.
Oh yeah, for sure. She was definitely using them this season, especially with the narrative. And it's weird that the way we ended the season was about Meredith's like sexual woes, and it had nothing to do with where we started.
Did not see that coming.
Didn't. I mean, like, at all. I never thought we would at least end it with Meredith. She's not really like the most entertaining of the people to me, but like that's also fine with me. But like, I never saw that happening. And everybody slut shaming her, and it's just very strange.
But also the production must have just been like, what is happening? Like, I assume you, if you're production, you go in with some kind of like, well, I think this is going to happen this season. I bet this will. You know, I don't think they could have predicted. I would love to talk to production at some point years down the line and go, what did you expect to happen? And, you know, you couldn't have expected it to go the way it did. But it didn't even go in weird ways that was like beautiful. It went in weird ways that didn't necessarily make sense. We never really got full answers to anything. We got great dialogue, but it felt like, it really felt like a huge dream sequence to me, where it would like you'd get these moments in your dreams that you really remember, like, you know, Whitney walking by Mary and Mary going, women, you know, like what a weird moment, what a weird, beautiful moment that like you have those moments in your dream where you're like, then this happened. It was crazy, but you never get follow up to any of this stuff. We never, you know, and I also love on another topic, I love that Jenny didn't get an end title card. I love.
Yeah, I'm glad they pulled that from her.
I really loved. And,
like,
and
you're
I
not about to rehab yourself on that. Because I also feel that way. I mean, you know, me being a woman of color, this is just my opinion. I don't really want her to have the platform to explain herself. I don't really want that. Especially not when she's getting a check for it. Like, I don't really need to know that bad. Because also, who is she at this point? Like, who would she be even like apologizing or addressing it to? Because Mary's gone, so she's gonna talk to a room full of white women and Jen possibly if she's not in jail. But I didn't mean it. Like, I don't understand.
Well, when Jenny did her Instagram live with that one dude, so remember, like the day after, you know, and she said, "This is not the last you'll hear from me. It's only," and I'm like, "But Jenny, why wouldn't it be the last? Like, what? Who do you think you are? Like, you were on a Housewives show. Like, there's no, we don't need to hear from you anymore. That was
the, but it was a new show.
But that was the magic, right? Like, you had your thing. That was the time we want to hear from you. We don't want to hear from you anymore. Like,
yeah, no, I don't really care.
You can keep talking, but I'm saying, like, we're not looking for the Jenny show. We thought, okay, we watch you because you're on the show we watch.
Right. And to be fair, Jenny, you weren't even well liked from an entertainment point of view for episodes and episodes before we knew about your racisms.
But to be fair, too, though, is that that's how it is with Housewives show, is that I accept most new people will not be entertaining for a couple of years. So I didn't even give Jenny, like, I didn't ever go, she needs to go. She, you know, I was like, whatever. Like, I just didn't care enough to even have a full opinion. But, you know, because I usually know that Housewives are built over years, not in one year.
Yeah, like, I mean, give Noelle or take a couple on Potomac if you watch those. Because I mean, Candace fresh out the gate was pretty damn great. Monique rapped at the Willard in a hat.
Noella's trying to do that on OC as like a fully formed housewife. And I just, but the Jenny thing, it's like, yo, okay, good. You said all those horrible things. You're not on the show. Okay, cool. Like, I don't need to think about it more. I'm pretty good. I don't need to know what your journey is from this point on.
Yeah, it also doesn't concern us. You're not on the show anymore. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't care.
Why would I search it out? Like my show doesn't cover really like what Kelly Dodd's up to. I mean, I'll mention it if it makes me laugh, but I'm not concerned. Like, you know.
yeah, I write them out of my brain and I feel really good about it. But hopes for the reunion. I don't know what we were going to wrap up, because nothing that needs to be addressed is going to be addressed. I mean, how we ended the season and what pretty much progressed during the season were a lot of fights about, again, slut shaming Meredith and her woes in New York and who she's like hooking up with. And people like, oh my God, Jen Shaw said it too. Not just Lisa Barlow. So it's very true, obviously, that Meredith sleeps around New York. I'm like, so we're going to take the word of Jen Shaw. That's not the good cosign you need. I mean, I'm not saying it's true or not true. I'm just saying that that's not my cosigner.
Supposedly the Lisa Barlow hot mic moment aired. They got to see that episode 2 days before filming the reunion. So I will be interested to see the anger that Meredith comes in with, because that will be fresh. So that's what I think we see even on the preview, is that Lisa Barlow going, oh my God, you set me up, even though she said all of this stuff. But I sometimes, when anger is fresh, that is pretty interesting to watch on Housewives shows, especially at a reunion when Andy's even there to Meredith, kind of referee.
The most monotone person I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that's what so I'm interested in that. I'm kind of bummed about Mary, but at the same time, we know that Mary would have been there and it would have just been like,
she fell asleep last year. So the bar was pretty low.
By the way, I'm like, I'm disappointed as a meme maker, you know, like it would have been some funny memes potentially, but it also wouldn't have coherently worked in a lot of ways, you know, like we would have gotten more questions about Mary's church, which I'm sure we'll talk about anyways, regardless of Mary being there or not.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, you know, it's weird that Jen Shaw and Heather were filming in front of Mary's church for season 3, and now Mary's not there. So I wonder what they'll do with that footage and if they'll do it or not, because it feels like a little like weird. But all in all, I'm glad Salt Lake City is over. I don't know if season 2 is better than season 1. For both of them, I found them to be like a solid, like between like 78 to an 83 range as my teacher grade scale. They were okay. They were good enough seasons, but when it comes on now, the same weeks as Jersey, and even with Jersey, I'm over here like, this is far more riveting television. I'm just very glad that those women are back. And there are hopes for Atlanta to come back soon and come back strong. Although there are also some terrible rumors that I refuse to believe that Atlanta may not be making it through the next couple seasons.
Really?
Yeah. Them and OC. No, OC, I understand.
You know, what's so funny is that, like, I am really enjoying OC. Like, I expect nothing from it. I like talking about the ladies. Like, it's like this really weird breath of fresh air for me, because with the Salt Lake thing, where it's like, as a Housewives show, I would give Salt Lake like a 60%.
Oh, you know, not as a Housewives show. I was comparing it for them, their own seasons. Oh,
but I'm saying, but as a show that is so, we've never seen such a bizarre culmination of events that I give it almost like an A in that sense of like, if you want to watch like a foreign film that makes no sense, like, you know, that's never like Salt Lake is like, wow, they're doing something really different over there. Can't tell you what it is, but it is something I've never seen before. So in that sense, it's fascinating, because I go every Sunday, I'd be like, oh, I'm so excited to watch this. And then I'd start and be like, I don't think I am excited. And then afterwards, I'd be like, what did I just watch? I don't know. And then how do I even talk about that? Like, how that doesn't make sense? Like, we were talking about how Jersey, like, well, that makes sense. And this makes sense. Salt Lake doesn't make sense.
No, there is no sense. They're like throwing everything they've ever seen, like at the camera and going, I know this will stick. And it did. But, you know, also confusion over here as well. But we made it to the end. We made it to the finish line. And we deserve an award ourselves for that. I feel very, very proud of myself for sticking with something that I kind of didn't want to.
Did you see that the ratings were not great for that finale? The lowest rating. And I really am curious, when something like that happens, like, you know, how far do you go with the show and support a show? Because there's something there. I just don't know what I would do as a production. It's like, you know, talking about saving a show with only 2 seasons is weird, because you shouldn't have to save something that's still building. But at the same time, if ratings are going down in the season instead of going up, you're definitely going the wrong way.
The only time I'll ever possibly, like, I give mercy now to switch it to Bravo shows is I remember being so deep on the train of like, why does anyone watch Summer House? It is not that good. And their ratings backed me up. And I used to be like, the ratings are shit. I don't know who's like, everybody, you should watch Summer. Like, nobody's watching it. I check every week. And now they're doing so much better. And the show has gotten better, but boy, did it take time. I need to finish baking. And a lot of times Salt Lake City does feel like it's a half baked production. So like the cookies are like brown on the outside and like raw in the middle. And I can't eat that.
Yeah. Well, it's also, yeah, like you said, time always will tell with these shows. Mm-hmm. We'll look back with them fondly of like, oh, remember that's, you know, in the Sprinter van. And that was, you know, time plus pressure adds a lot of different things. And I feel like that's what the Housewives shows. Things become legendary over time. Like things that we once thought was this, they sometimes turn into something completely different, which I find fascinating with mm-hmm. all of pop culture, but especially with the Housewives, how we rewrite our initial feelings, you know, that's left to be discovered for us.
And I will always be appreciative to Salt Lake City for giving me one of the few joys that I've had in watching Housewives in the last few years, which is watching not one, not two, but three federal agencies come swarm a van and look for one housewife.
Can you believe that happened this season?
It's the best thing still that's ever happened to me. And that's all I can say is thank you, Salt Lake City, for that. And thank you, Ryan Bailey, for this.
Can you thank tell you. Everyone it was where they amazing can to talk to you again.
Find you, where they can listen you, to you. Oh my God, I'm so good to reconnect.
It's just so bad it's good with Ryan Bailey. Monty, anytime you want to come on, just let me know.
Anytime. I love your show.
That's the only way I really talk to people these days. I had to take a couple of personal days off this week for some family stuff. And now I don't know when this comes out, but after you listen to Monty, I'll have some episodes up over the weekend with a summer house recap and things like that. So just pick and choose. There's a lot of their stuff, obviously. And if you want silly memes, go to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, and that's it. And by the way, just remember, you know, in the days and weeks and all that, we've come through such an amazingly hard time and we're still there. And we seem like we're about to enter maybe a new phase of hard time is take pleasure where you can get it. Laugh when you can, listen to who you want to listen to, and do what is good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you again, Ryan, for coming on. And thank you all, everyone, for listening. As Ryan said, please like take your pleasure, take your joy, take your breaks when you can. And, you know, like I always say, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay whole now, because I'm out in the streets. So if you want to do that too, go ahead and be out of your home. Again, there is other things happening. Patreon, I have a couple of Black History Month spotlights out. We talked Phaedra's ridiculous due date back in the day, June, July, or maybe August, and she didn't know when her baby was coming out. We've talked Nene versus the White Refrigerator so far, and so many other things. There is so much more on there, and I have merch coming out as well, new stuff. It's in the description of the podcast episode, so if you're interested, take a little look-see, and thank you again for listening, and as always, take care of yourselves and each other. Okay, love you. Bye. For more about me, Bravo, Housewives, pop culture, and so much more, follow me on Instagram at Mixing with Moni, MixingWithMani. So you can keep up with me. And don't forget to also leave a quick review on Apple Podcasts, if that's where you're listening, and rate me and maybe give me 5 stars. Thanks so much. Bye.